$500 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same, 'cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old Studley Roy.
All right, well, save a horse. You should have. The horse went 7-4 last week. That's why he got to pick the intro music. A little arrogant going with save a horse, ride a cowboy. Guess he's kind of both right now, though. 7-4, solid week. So we earned the music. I went 6-5. Not good, not bad, but the picks we were both on went 4-1. Second solid week for that. So that's something to keep your eye on moving forward. Generally, when we're on the same game, we are pretty good. We've actually been very good. That was a bit of an understatement. I was underselling it like a motherfucker. We're going to talk a little Sarkisian. What are we on the year on picks we're on together?
Yeah.
We are...
Like 9-3, I think, right?
I'm trying to look. We were 4-1 and 6-2. So...
10-3. Good math right there.
So, yeah. Yeah, take your chances with 10-3, but you're in the honey hole if you keep taking those bets. We're going to talk Sark for a second. We haven't talked any college football in the past, but your boy the horse is a USC Trojan, so we're going to let him talk about his boy Sark and his rampant alcoholism. Go ahead.
Well, started off on the year pretty bullish on the Trojans. I put a bunch of future bets on them taking the Pac-12, which obviously probably will not pan out anymore. But, I mean, you guys have all probably heard about this. The guy got asked to take a leave of absence, and then the day after was immediately fired. USC's campus is pretty packed with news bands. They're all over the place trying to get a scoop on the story. So apparently what happened is that one of the players texted an ESPN insider that Sark was lit at the ASU game, the practice after the home loss to Washington, and like a bunch of other times. Apparently the guy just is a huge degenerate like us, but it's kind of, I don't even know really what to think of it, especially if your own player is calling in ESPN to report you. I think that's obviously a sign that they wanted to change, and honestly it's just hilarious. I think it's hilarious,
yeah.
Honestly.
I mean, it can't be a good thing when your coach is showing up to games wasted. Or who knows, maybe it can. Wasn't like, I don't know. But in this case, it obviously wasn't. They lost two big games. They were a contender for a while. Well, I mean, I was actually scared. A couple people had prop bets. I was like, did I miss the boat on this thing after a couple weeks? Thank God their coach was an alcoholic, so I didn't miss the boat and didn't lose any money on that. But, yeah, we're degenerates too, which for anyone who's wondering why the name of the show changed, it's because apparently there was already a spread, already a beat the spread, whatever. So we got an email, said we had to change the name of the podcast. So now it's Degenerates, and we are degenerates, but we're also not the head coach of one of the most storied football franchise or football schools in the country. So, yeah, it's funny, but it shouldn't be that funny for you because it's your team, and now you're fucked.
Yeah, no, I'm completely fucked. Lost a couple hundred on those prop bets that I took. And now basically we're about to go in the heart of our schedule. We were supposed to easily be 5-0 through now. I mean, other than Stanford coming back into ranked position, we should have easily handled those. And then we're about to play Notre Dame, who's ranked, Utah, who's some people think is the number one team in the country, Cal, who's number 23, Arizona, good squad, Oregon, UCLA. So, I mean, it looks like this could be an explosion year. And there's talk of the AD getting fired from USC as well, which is, I think, would be the cherry on top.
Yeah, it's only getting worse for you guys. We're going to move on, though, because we're doing MLB playoffs and then NFL picks with some other stuff sprinkled in. Blue Jays-Rangers series was wrapped up today. Blue Jays won. It was the most bizarre game I've ever seen. Our prediction was right that they would win. It was closer than we both thought. I thought it was going to be 4. It was 5, and it was a weird 5. The Russell Martin throw off the bat, and then the 3 errors by the Rangers, and then Bautista's homer, which was like the fucking coolest homer I've ever seen. So it was just a wild game. It was what I expected. I think it was kind of what everyone expected with that series. But, you know, everyone who thought the Jays were kind of the front runner to win the World Series, maybe not as much, because they did have a pretty tough time with the Rangers. What's your thought on that?
Well, I was watching. I caught a little bit of the game just right after
Hello?
That Saturday.
Jay? Of course.
Williamson? Hello?
Yeah. There's bad connection, I think. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Sorry. Yeah, the Blue Jays, I caught the seventh inning. I got in at the seventh inning. Crazy inning. I mean, Russell Martin throwing that ball off the bat. First of all, I thought it was kind of bullshit. I mean, if the guy is putting his bat in front of your throwing lane, like, you shouldn't be penalized for that. But then they still battled through it. I mean, they got so much help from the Rangers. The guys literally just gave it to them on a silver platter. 3 years against the best offensive team in the MLB, you're boned. Jose Bautista's bat flip was boss. If you haven't seen it, you should check that out. Yeah, it's second to the Yoenis one a couple of days ago, if you saw that one when he kind of just, like, launched it into the other dugout. But both of those are sick.
Moving forward, you got to think that the Jays are coming out of the AL.
Yeah, but another thing is I think other than the Mets, because the Mets series is still going, all of our series panned out, right?
Don't you think the Jays are coming out of the AL?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Houston and the Royals are just not. I don't think either team is. I think the Royals aren't as good as they were last year. And I don't know. I think that it'll be. I'm hoping Blue Jays versus Mets. But we're seeing what that.
Yeah, and the Royals are actually down 2-1 right now. They were doing this live, and the Royals are down 2-1, threatening. They got runners on second and third, no outs. I don't really care about that series at all. It's kind of been the series I was disinterested in from the start. I think the Blue Jays are coming out of the AL, but who knows? I didn't think they were going to go to 5 with the Rangers. I don't think these should be 5-game series in general. I think they should be 7. I don't understand it, but that's a different debate. Let's move on to what we really want to talk about, though. Mets-Dodgers, Game 5. I'm terrified. There's no one I would want to ride with more than DeGrom. The guy's an absolute stud. That being said, I'm terrified of playing the Dodgers in L.A. with Greinke on the mound in the shadows. And it's not because I don't
–
anything can happen.
You're back.
Yeah, what's your feelings going into this Game 5 Mets-Dodgers?
Well, I was at Game 3, just a complete nightmare from my point of view. I was watching the game, and I didn't really know what happened. And, like, it was like a 15-minute wait, so I was just, like, sitting down, like, trying to figure out what the fuck happened. And then somehow we get no outs instead of 2 outs, and that was absurd. But still – Dodger Stadium is not that loud for a playoff game. I don't think it's a huge, like, fan base. I mean, obviously for Game 5, they're all going to be coming out. But the Mets looked good. I think that in the at Dodger Stadium in Game 1 and 2. And in Game 2, they had the lead against Greinke with Syndergaard going a strong 8. And I think DeGrom is going to come out with another stellar performance, maybe give up one run. I mean, I think that's his limit. If he gives up any more than that, I think we're boned. But I think that it's about a 50-50 chance, unlike the odds, which are like plus 40 for the Mets.
Yeah, I agree. There's good value. Check your connection, Horse. Mine says I'm all good.
Mine says it's green also. It just for some reason, like, just cut out for 1 second. But I think I'm back.
Okay. All right, cool.
My dog shit internet.
Yeah, that's kind of the same. That's kind of the same thing I was saying. I think we're getting undervalued by the bookmakers. I think it is closer to a 50-50. And it's just a thing where DeGrom has to pitch well. I think if he gives up three runs, we lose.
Yeah, I mean, Greinke gave up two against him, and they lost. I mean, basically, against these two guys, if you're going to give up more than like two or three, you're basically done.
Yeah, I mean, Mats gave up three. It looked bad. It wasn't that bad. I mean, we lost 3-1. Like, our pitchers gave up three runs in a game. But against Clayton Kershaw, that's, you can't expect to win. I don't care what he's done in the playoffs. He's still the best pitcher in baseball.
And he was so unreal yesterday.
He was unreal, but our bats did not look that good. We missed some pitches we could have hit.
I think Yoenis is probably, especially with a strikeout pitcher, Yoenis swings so aggressively. You kind of lose his bat when you have a strikeout pitcher on the mound, I think.
Yeah, that's valid. And he homered off Greinke, and so did Conforto. Conforto has to be in the lineup for me.
Yeah, 100%. Hundo
righty on lefty. Righty on lefty, great defensive player, good arm. He's got to be in the lineup. I don't care that he's a rookie. He's the best option.
I think the Mets are a better team facing a righty pitcher. I mean, they got Duda. They got Conforto over Kadire. I mean, Kadire playing game one, that was fucking retarded and almost cost us. But Grandy is way better against righties. And, I mean, the only person that really benefits
is way-
D-Wright. But I think D-Wright is – I'm hoping D-Wright has a huge, huge night because this is his time to shine.
D-Wright's ice cold. So is Duda.
Yeah.
Duda's ice cold.
I mean, he struck out four times against dog shit against lefties.
He struck out four times in game three, and then he struck out three more times against Kershaw.
Yeah, that's it.
So, like, seven strikeouts in, like, his last eight at-bats. It's embarrassing. But he has to be in there against the righty.
Yeah, 100%. Especially, like, that porch in right field in Dodger Stadium. It's not the shortest, but it's reachable. I mean, especially for Duda.
You have to have him in the lineup because he can go deep at any second. All in all, I think we're getting undervalued, but I'm still just really scared of the game because, you know, it's one game. One game, our season's over. As great a season as it's been, it's over if we lose.
Yeah, I'm really freaking out. I'm thinking about going tomorrow. I'm pretty freaked out. I got my series bet in, so I don't know how much I'm actually going to put on the Mets tomorrow because I actually have, like, an incredible amount riding on the series. But we'll see.
Yeah.
I might go for a
little. That is what it is. We're not going to burn up too much of the people's time. I think we'll win the game, but I'm still scared. It's just you'd have to be a moron not to be against Greinke. I mean, he had the lowest ERA in the majors.
Yeah, 43 scoreless innings in a row.
That is what it is. Cowboys quarterback change. It's not a big topic, and I don't want to spend much time on it just because I don't think it really matters that much between Whedon and Castle. But I didn't think Whedon was playing that bad. I thought it was more a product of the Cowboys just not being very good without Romo and Dez. Like, from what I saw, Whedon was serviceable. You have any take on that?
I thought that, honestly, I kind of like the switch to Matt Castle. I mean, obviously, when you lose your starting quarterback, going from Romo to Whedon isn't a positive, but I think that Matt Castle is a solid option. I think he's going to give a little bit more arm strength than Whedon. Whedon, like, came in the league at, like, 28. He's now, like, 30-something. But I think they just got to rely on their running game. They got an unreal offensive line. But they just got to mix in a couple play action plays, easy throws, nothing more than, like, 15-yard play action. But I hope that the Cowboys keep getting fucked before Romo gets back, because I'm a Giants fan.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, how effective can a mediocre quarterback be when he's only been with the team for like 2 weeks? It's like, at least Whedon's been there for a while.
That's true. Like,
but I mean, I guess when you're losing, it's like your hand is forced and you have to go with the other guy.
Yeah, especially in Dallas.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's a lot like New York.
Yeah, exactly. as soon as the losses, couple losses in a row, they're calling for people's heads. I mean, the two losses that the Giants took at the beginning of the season, everyone was freaking out. Now it seems to balance out a bit.
Yep. All right. So now we're going to get into our picks for Sunday. This is a topic I didn't want to put on the list because I wanted to get your natural first take on it. What do you think of teams not kicking the extra point when they score touchdowns in overtime?
I think it's the biggest dog shit of all time. I mean, most spreads are coming in at Williamson?
Yep.
Williamson? Okay. I think it's the biggest dog shit of all time. That's another for our You Fucked Me. When Atlanta was down when the Falcons, I think they won by 6, right?
Yeah, because they had the pick 6 in overtime.
I was on the 6.5, which was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, they should just kick the extra point. Like, why not? Like,
here's why they shouldn't. The only person who can win with that extra point is the team who bet the favorite. And you shouldn't win betting on the favorite if the game goes to overtime. Does that make sense?
That is actually true. That makes a lot more sense now that you just brought
that
up.
The only person who can, like, that can really benefit is if you were on the favorite in a game that went to overtime. And if you have a 6.5 or 7-point favorite and the game goes to overtime, you deserve to lose that game.
Yeah, that is true.
That was kind of my take on it, but I knew you'd be fired up. But now we're calling it kill yourself, jump off a bridge, jump off a building, whatever you want to call it. My guy, Chris Harris Jr., jump off a building. That pick 6 against the Raiders was absolute bullshit. That game should have gone easily within the number. Pick 6 blows up the spread, screws me on the Raiders, helped the horse go to 7-4 on the week, but really boned me. So that was mine. I guess Shay's was the NFL not allowing the team to kick the extra point.
And, yeah, also maybe the Seahawks just giving up a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter that they've never done before.
And then, so I guess the horses could potentially be Roger Goodell or the Seahawks defense. All right, we're gonna move into our games. I got my pen out to start circling horses' picks along next to mine. First game, Thursday night game, Falcons going into the Superdome, favored by 3. Who you got?
I am still gonna keep riding the Falcons. I've been on the Falcons since week 1. I think that their team is just a good offensive team. They got Julio Jones. They got Devontae Freeman. And honestly, I don't know how healthy Breeze truly is. His shoulder. He's 2 weeks off of it now, a week and a half off of it. But it is a short week. So I don't know how sore it'll be or how he'll be feeling about it. But I mean, New Orleans is really strong at home. But I do like Atlanta moving to 6-0.
Okay. I'm on the Saints in this one. Everyone is on Atlanta. Everyone and their brother is on Atlanta. That's the first reason I like the Saints. The other reason is Julio is banged up. You saw it last week when Julio was banged up. They almost lost to a mediocre Redskins team at home. And now you have Julio. They're saying he may or may not play. He'll play, but he's going to play banged up. And you still have Breeze in the Superdome where – you know, anything can happen. I'll take the 3 points with the
Williamson. He cut out.
So, did I cut out?
Yeah.
I'm taking the Saints. Next game, Cincinnati going into Buffalo, favored by 3.5. The undefeated boys from Cincinnati. I've been waiting for that classic fraud team loss. Thought it was going to be last week. Ended up took the Seahawks, got a push out of it. But damned if I didn't think that was a win the whole way through the game. This week, I'm going again. I'm going with the Bills. Everybody and their brothers on Cincinnati. I'll take Buffalo. Tyrod Taylor, I think, is going to play, which is big. Hard-nosed Bills defense. Good crowd in Buffalo. I'll take the Bills and go against the world.
Yeah, I'm actually also on the Bills on this one. You know, I think the Bills' D is a little undervalued. I think they're pretty solid. Tyrod's been doing his thing. Hopefully he'll be able to play. He's on my fantasy squad also. But, I mean, he has a minor MCL injury. It's not as bad as Big Ben's, they were saying. So I am also hoping that the Bills will pull this one out and either lose by a field goal or win this game.
Okay, so we're on the same thing there. That's one to put down for you guys at home. Another thing, I've been listening to these podcasts, other, like, gambling podcasts to kind of, kind of see what we're doing different than everyone else. And a lot of these shows do this thing where the two co-hosts guess the spreads and see who was closer. Who fucking cares about that? Just tell me who to bet on in the game is where I'm thinking, right? Like, who cares who can guess closer to the spread? And another thing is they'll just, like, talk about – they'll have a Vegas expert and, like, talk about who's betting on what without ever actually making any picks. On our podcast, we go through the games and we make picks. I haven't found that anywhere else.
I know. You got to – I mean – we have our win-loss records. We have our, as a team, on the same thing, win-loss records. That's all it boils down to on Monday when you get paid out.
Exactly, which we've both done consistently all year. We've both shut down our bookies this year once. It just happened. The guy texts me. He's like, dude, we're closing a shop. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get you what I owe you. It's like, dude, it's like, what am I supposed to do now, man?
Yeah, I had a guy that I was making bets with before I moved into a little bit better of a situation. It only took 4 days, actually, to get this guy out of business. But that's the goal. That's the goal as a degenerate.
Exactly. It's like it's you're a degenerate, but if you're winning, you're winning. So it is what it is. Hopefully I find someone new. If anyone listening knows a guy, let me know. Call in. Denver's going to Cleveland. They're 4-point favorites. Who you got?
In this one, I've got the Broncos. I mean, they keep winning somehow. I mean, they could be 2-3 or like 1-4. Instead, they're 5-0. But, I mean, the Browns, I just don't think are that solid of a squad. And I think that Payton is going to be a little bit better than he's been in the past weeks. The receiving core, Emmanuel Sanders, the Marius, I think they'll win by a touchdown.
Okay. I'm on the Browns. The Broncos, I think they've covered like this. They've covered the spread in like 4 out of 5 games, and I think it's been on a pick six in 3 of them. There was the scoop and score against the Chiefs that covered the spread too. Betting on teams that cover spreads that way. Cleveland's at home. They played a really tough game in San Diego. They beat the Ravens last week. So they're coming home. I don't think this football team's that bad. Denver's not very good. I think they're waiting. I think they are a bad loss waiting to happen. And I'm not saying it's this week, but I'm saying it could be this week. So I'll take the Browns with 4.
Okay.
Next game, Bears-Lions. I'm on the Bears. I just think the Lions are a dead and finished team. I think that Seahawks lost everything out of them. The Bears have won 2 in a row. They went into Arrowhead and won. I know Charles got hurt, but that's not the easiest place to play. I don't think this team's that bad when Cutler plays. They've won the last 2 games when he started. So I'll take my chances with the Bears winning this one outright.
I'm actually also on the Bears. I think Detroit, honestly, Calvin's not what he used to be. I think he lost a step. I don't know what the fuck Stafford is doing. I mean, the guy is jittery in the pocket, is turning the ball over, not completing passes, not throwing it up to Calvin like he used to. Single coverage sometimes, and he just, like, back in the day, he just wants that up, and Calvin would still get that. And that was, like, 40% of their offense, and now they're just struggling to kind of figure it out. Golden Tate, not really that impressive either. I got the Bears who – shockingly, or I don't like going with the Bears, but I like them over Detroit because Detroit's even worse.
Yeah, well, you're about to get another one of those games with Houston going to Jacksonville. What are your thoughts?
That's a pick 'em, right? It's just a straight pick 'em right now. Do you have that?
Yeah. Yep.
I got the Jaguars. I mean,
sorry,
Blake. What did you not hear that?
No.
I got the Jaguars at home. I just think Houston's kind of a just not good. They just can't figure it out. They can't stay with one quarterback. And if you're doing that, it's just not going to work out well. I mean, Ryan Mallett comes out for one play, and then Brian Hoyer hits a Hail Mary, and then the guy is sitting for the second half. But the thing is, in the Jacksonville game, if Brian Hoyer doesn't start off perfect in the first two drives, they'll probably pull him. I just don't even think they know what they're doing. I think that their season was lost. I think Blake Bortles will throw a couple touchdowns and win this game.
This game is such a shitty game. I wouldn't even advise betting on it. Obviously, we give the pick to every game because, like anyone listening to this, you're an animal that bets on every game like we do. So my pick for that reason, I'm going with the Texans just because I think they have more talent. And I think they've got an extra 4 days to prepare. And that's really all I got on this because these teams both suck. I mean, like, the Jags D got lit up by the Bucks, who have been terrible. This is just a bad game. I wouldn't advise it. It makes sense, and I'm glad we're on opposite sides of it, to be honest, because that way it won't affect our record on games we're on the same thing because it's really just a shitty game.
Yeah, I mean, shockingly, I might hold off. I usually bet on every game every week. About equal amounts, and then a couple of locks I put a little bit more on, but I might stay off this one, but on Sunday I'll probably throw something in there.
I might stay off this one too because I'm going to the Jets Skins game on Sunday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Driving up there. We're driving up through Atlantic City tomorrow. Staying in Atlantic City Thursday, Friday, going into the city Saturday, going to the game on Sunday.
From NC? Williamson. What the fuck is going on?
Horse?
Yeah, Williamson. Yeah, I don't know why it keeps cutting out for some. It'll cut out for like 5 seconds and you'll come back in.
All right, well, yeah, I'm going to the game. We're going up to Atlantic City this week and we're staying at the Tropicana, your old stomping grounds.
Love that place.
All right, next game is Kansas City going to Minnesota. Minnesota's favored by 4. I'm on the Chiefs just because this doesn't make any sense to me, and I think anyone with a brain is going to be taking the Vikings, which means there has to be something going on here that Vegas is trying to bone everyone, and that's the only reason I'm on the Chiefs because it doesn't make any sense to me.
I'm on the Vikings. I might get boned by it, but, I mean – I think Nile Davis and Charcandrick West are just not suitable backups for Jamal Charles. I think that they'll just ride AP. And Teddy had a solid game last week. So I think that they'll take the Chiefs. Keeps going out. Williamson.
Yeah, I heard you. I just didn't know if you were done.
I just cut out.
Okay. Next game, Redskins going to play the Jets in New York. Who you got?
I'm all over the Jets in this one. I don't think they can do anything. The Redskins can do anything against the Jets defense. And they'll just pound Chris Ivory. Fitzpatrick won't have more than one turnover, and they'll take this pretty easily.
All right. I'm actually on the Redskins for people listening. I'm going to bet the Jets because I'm a Jets fan. But Fitzpatrick will have more than one turnover because the Redskins defense is not that bad. I think the Redskins defense is solid. They looked good against Matt Ryan in that high-powered offense. If they stick to the run game and let Ivory do his thing, quarterbacks that turn the ball over like Fitzpatrick does have a good chance to cover spreads, especially when they're almost a touchdown. So I'll take the Skins. For anyone listening, I will be betting on the Jets, but my pick is the Skins. Similar situation with the horse taking the Bills against the Giants a couple weeks ago when he shouldn't have. I would love to lose this and have the Jets blow them out.
Yeah.
Next game, Cardinals are going to Pittsburgh, where I think Ben Roethlisberger is trying to play, but I don't think he's going to be able to. I think it'll be one more week of Vic. They're favored by 3. Who you got?
I like Arizona here. I don't think Big Ben's going to play either. Pittsburgh had a great win last week on Monday night in San Diego. I think they're going to have a little bit of a letdown facing a really tough team in the Cardinals. The Cardinals' running game is, they're averaging like 5.5 yards a carry or something like that. I thought that the spread would be more like 6.5, 7 for Arizona, so I'm going to take Arizona here.
I'm with you 1,000%. The spread should be 6 or 7. Arizona has feasted on these teams with quarterbacks that throw picks, because what Vic did against the Steelers, they shouldn't have won that game and they shouldn't have covered that spread. The Steelers DBs dropped 3 picks. 2 of them would have been pick 6. You throw those balls against this Cardinals D and they're all going to the house.
Might play. So if you're going to take Arizona, you might want to take him now, because I don't think he is going to play.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play either. Next game, Miami is going to Tennessee. This is one of my favorite plays of the week. I love the Titans, favored by 2.5. This Miami team, I think they're just dead. I think they're dead and lost. The coaching change move, I don't think that makes any situation better when you fire a coach after 5 games. So I think Tennessee is actually decent. Tennessee put up a fight against Buffalo last week, and they've won a couple games. They put up a fight against the Colts when Luck was playing. So I think the Titans are not bad at home against a dead team like the Dolphins, where you got all those issues we talked about on the show last week. So I'm taking the Titans, and I love it.
Yeah, I'm also on the Titans. Love that it's your lock of the week and that I'm on it. Honestly, they showed – their defense was great against the Bills. I mean, Tyrod went in the first half, he had like 17 yards. He's on my fantasy team. And then he ended up getting 2 touchdowns, 1 with a rushing score. And he got some work done with on the ground running ball. I mean, he's a strange quarterback to try and defend. I also think that the Dolphins are just in no man's land. I think that the Titans are going to win this one.
Yep, me too. Next game, this is the one I like the second most behind the Titans game, is Carolina going into Seattle. Love Seattle. People are low on Seattle. Most of the public's actually betting on Carolina, which kind of shocks me. They're favored by a touchdown, which is a lot. But the Panthers have played the easiest schedule in the NFL thus far statistically. They've played the worst quarterbacks. And I think the Seahawks team at home kind of eats them up. They need a win. The Seahawks need a win. They're desperate.
Yeah, I'm same way. This was going to be my lock of the week. I did not like the 7, but I still am going to take it. I love Seattle coming off that brutal loss. I mean, I think they're going to come out so hot. I mean, I think they're going to be in front of their hometown fans. They are such a tough place to play. And I think that they're just going to come out breathing fire, grabbing some picks, forcing some turnovers. And Russell's going to be much better with the ball than he has been in past games.
Yep. We're on the same page there. San Diego going to Green Bay. This spread's kind of weird. It's anywhere from 10.5 to 11.5. Who do you like?
10.5. It's 10.5 for me. 10.5 is so many points. But, I mean, once again, Green Bay at home. I have been riding Green Bay at home all year. I'm going to keep doing it. I think Aaron Rodgers, he threw a couple picks for the first time in, what, like 150,000 games at home.
A million games.
And he's gonna fix that. What do you like there?
I'm on the Chargers. It's just too many points for me. I don't like it. it's just too many points. We were both on Green Bay last week. They had no business covering that spread against St. Louis. Nick Foles got picked off four times, three times in the end zone. They should have covered that spread with ease. And there were a couple missed field goals, I think, too. Like, they should have, that should have been a close game. And I don't love going against Rodgers in a game they squeak by, but I don't think he's looking at one as one they squeaked by because they won by so much. And at the end of the day, it's just there's too much value on San Diego. If it gets to be around 11.5 points, it's like that's just that's too many for me. I'm taking San Diego.
I get that. I mean, 10.5 to me is a shitload, but it is Green Bay at home.
Baltimore, 2.5 point favorites going into San Francisco. I have Baltimore just because I think John Harbaugh is so much better coach than Tom Sula. I think this Niners team kind of left it all on the line last week on Monday night or on Sunday night against the Giants, your boys. Eli kind of put them in the grave, I think. I think this team's going to come out dead. They're coming back from the East Coast. Baltimore needs a win. Harbaugh needs a win. I think they're going to put it all on the line. I think San Francisco's kind of dead. I think Baltimore still is a team with enough heart to put it all out there. So I'm going to go with Baltimore. I think they win by more than a field goal in this one. Maybe even kind of a potential rout, to be honest.
Okay, I'm on the other side here. I like San Francisco just because I thought Kaepernick showed some showed some improvement against the Giants. I mean, he led that great drive down the field, ended up in a heartbreak. But I think that's going to be good for him in this next game. I think he feels confident in his arm and moving around in the pocket, making plays. And I think Baltimore going to the West Coast is tough for them. Last time they went to the West Coast, to Oakland, they lost to the Raiders home. And I think that the 49ers are a better team than the Raiders, and I think it's going to be similar to that game.
All right. All valid there. Two terrible teams. Anything could happen. Patriots going to Indy. I'm assuming Luck is playing. With everything I say, I assume Luck's playing. Who you got?
I think this was tough for me because there's two sides to it. I mean, the last time they played, Luck got spanked by Brady. But then I think that the Patriots are – I'm picking the Patriots because of the Deflategate scandal. I think that I think Brady thinks that the Colts are kind of nosy and they just, like, brought up the thing. And I think Brady's going to try and put up points against him.
I'm with you. I really am. I mean, this is actually kind of the second or third week in a row where I, like, my system that I use to make picks came up with the side against the Patriots. And as I think about the game, it's like, I just think they're going to kill them. I think that they're going to kill them. I think that's the thing. With a spread like that on the road, you have to have a team who wants to put their foot on the gas and step on someone's throat. And I think the Patriots are in that position tenfold right now going into the team that kind of ratted them out for the whole Deflategate, put them through all that bullshit. And even if it wasn't necessarily all the Colts' fault, I think the Patriots have been so far this season looking to run over everyone. And I think this is one they might have had scheduled well in advance. I think they're going to win easy. The Colts suck. The Patriots might be the best team in football. I think they win easy by two touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm equally the same way. I think Brady's coming out with a vengeance. And tough to guard. I mean, some of their guys like Edelman, it's like on another team, I don't even think Edelman would be that good. But with Brady, he can make these guys, Deion Lewis, I mean, these guys way better.
Yep. All right. So now Monday night game, big game for you. I'll let you take the reins on it. Giants going to Philly. 4-point dogs. Who do you like?
Love this. Love this game. Love the Giants when they play the Eagles and the Cowboys. I don't know why, but I feel like the Giants always come out with wins on these big nights against these teams. Philadelphia had a great week last week. They put up like 38 points, right, or something like that?
Yeah, they scored a lot.
But I'm actually going to take the Giants to win this game, not just as a fan, but just because I think that the Giants are coming off that last one, feeling pretty confident, taking the lead in the NFC East. And I'm going to I'm going to pull for my Giants, and I'm also going to bet on my Giants without bias.
I'm also on the Giants. The spread, I think they're going to win the game outright as well, so 4 points is ridiculous. I'm going to take it with the spread. I don't love money line bets necessarily. I think they are going to win the game as well, though. I don't think the Eagles are any good. That Saints team they beat is atrocious on the road, dating back for the last 4 years. Ever since even when they were good, they were bad on the road. So that win really didn't mean anything to me. The Saints had one of the worst defenses in the NFL. I don't care how bad they beat them. That win meant nothing. That was my lock of the week, partly because I knew how bad the Saints were, not how good the Eagles were. Now the Eagles are playing a team I think is actually pretty good. A team that could potentially be 5-0. I obviously know they're not. They're 3-2. But they're a team that's shown the ability to beat good teams. A healthy Dallas team. A healthy Eagles team, a healthy Falcons team. So I'm all over the Giants, and give me 4 points as a cherry on top if they lose on some bullshit at the end.
Yeah, I think that the game will be close, and I love the 4-point spread here. I mean, I think that if the Eagles win, it could be on a late field goal, which I'm hoping won't happen. But
yeah, the Eagles will not win this game comfortably because they're not good enough to.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, that's the show. We're going to close it off with Horace's lead-in music. Congratulations. I plan on taking over the microphone with this next week.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same, 'cause I've